At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First. Happy Championship Sunday. Happy close to the PGA Tour season Sunday. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here. We have just a little bit of time before the final round of the Tour Championship gets underway. We've got final round underway over in Europe and a couple of events. The D&D Real Check Masters about to wrap up. The Asian Tour event at St. Andrews Bay, which is the Fairmont St. Andrews Resort. That's ongoing right now. We'll have the CPKC Women's Open, which used to be known as the CP Women's Open, Canadian Women's Open. That's going to be unfolding later this afternoon in Shaughnessy Golf and Country Club in Vancouver in British Columbia. Try and get you ready for some of that. And want to talk about a couple of stories related to one, the Tour Championship, and the other related to the other event of the day that'll be in the Western time zone. Actually, I'm not exactly sure what time zone Idaho is in, so apologies about that. But the Boise Open, the Albertsons Boise Open final round is today. That's the first final round of the four-event Korn Ferry Tour final series. Something came out of that earlier in the week that I think is worth talking about here and now. So, let's start with Eastlake. For all intents and purposes, I mean, unless something crazy happens today, Victor Hovland is absolutely going to win this thing. Like, he's off the board to win. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. He's six up on everybody else. Shot 68 to open, 64 in the second round, 66 yesterday in a round that was somewhat weather delayed. But by the time the weather delay was over, he had pulled away and this thing was absolutely finished. Xander Schauffele is in second at 14 under total, 67, 64, 68. And then you look at Keegan Bradley. He is in tied for third position with Colin Morikawa. They're both on 13 under total, including the starting strokes. Morikawa just really played himself out of this tournament yesterday. 73 in the third round and had a double bogey on the fifth hole, a couple on 10, you know, bogey on 10, bogey on 11. And that was pretty much all she wrote. She just kind of ran out of gas. No one else is within seven. The next best are within nine. Wyndham Clark, John Rahm, and Scottie Scheffler. So, really, feels like everyone else is just kind of playing for whatever place, you know, wherever you want to finish in this thing. That doesn't mean there's not a whole lot of money available. There's a lot of money available for second. I mean, the money to second place is $6.5 million. That's not nothing. There's a lot out there to be played for today, but it seems like the FedEx Cup is not one of them. Now, that's not to say Victor Hovland can't make a mess of this. Not saying that he specifically, but golfers have made messes of big leads. And on this golf course, we have seen repeatedly that if you get yourself into trouble in a couple holes in a row, you string together two or three drop shots, maybe a double bogey, maybe a bogey, maybe four bogeys in a row, all of a sudden you've let everybody into this thing. So it's not completely over, but it probably is over. So that makes you think a little bit differently, perhaps, depending on how you feel about everything, about the Player of the Year race. And the Player of the Year race, I think, really does come down to two people still. Even though Victor Hovland is about to win for the third time this year, about to win a FedEx Cup, and those three events that he won were not duds. One Memorial, BMW, and presumably, if he finishes it off today, the Tour Championship. Those are big boy fields. Those are great, great fields with great players. So, I think you can make maybe a vague argument for him for Player of the Year, but then you look at the two players that realistically are Player of the Year, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler. Now, in my mind, John Rahm is the Player of the Year. Won the Masters, four-time winner, the fields of strength that he beat when he won, I mean, come on, like he beat big boy fields, and he did it four times, and included a major. So for me, that knocks out Hovland. I think you can make some kind of argument for Scheffler, but Scheffler's won twice. didn't win a major, and while his tee to green season has been historic in terms of the ShotLink era, the lack of trophies, the relative dearth of trophies compared to not only John Rahm, but also to his peer in that kind of season, which is Tiger Woods, who won 7 times in his best strokes gain, tee to green, strokes gain approach years. And obviously that's not the case for Scottie Scheffler. He's only gotten it done a couple times. I mean, if he were 2 strokes better in most of the tournaments that he played, he'd probably have won 7 or 8 times this year. But that's not how golf works. And Scottie Scheffler finds himself again in a position where, going into a Sunday, he's right up there on the leaderboard. And had he not shot 73 yesterday, after playing himself back into it with 65 on Friday, if he shoots 66, I mean, we're talking a real golf tournament here. He played himself out of it yesterday, too. If you look at his card from the 3rd round, and you see, he made 4 bogeys. Made 1 birdie, and that came at the last hole, the par 5, which is not an easy birdie, but a lot of players do birdie it. So he just played himself straight out of it. And it really is putting that kills him. If you look at his strokes gained putting this week, minus 1.8 strokes gained in putting. That is 25th out of 30 players in the field. Strokes gained off the tee, 4th. What's really killing him this week, though, is strokes gained on the approach. Losing 2.5 strokes gained on the approach, 22nd in the field. That is not his game. When he plays poorly, this is the net result. He's still an incredible driver of the golf ball, and he also had a huge advantage. So if we were just doing this for a normal tournament, he'd be at 1 under par, right? I mean, it would not be in good shape because he has 2 rounds over par, 1 round under par. Not lovely, okay? But still, this has been an aberration for him this week. But I think there is no real debate. This is inspired by a golfchannel.com piece. I think it was Rex Hoggard's column trying to talk about the final round might influence how these guys' peers might vote for the player of the year race. And to me, there really is no contest. It's John Rahm. He is the player of the year. End of the story. At least on the PGA Tour. I think in all of golf, actually. McIlroy's had a great year, but just has not been... It's very similar to Scottie Scheffler syndrome of, yeah, you're always there, but you're very rarely, relatively speaking to your opportunities, holding the trophy. And I that's not an indictment of somebody at all. But as if you think of player of the year in any sport, it's particularly an individual sport, it's how many times you won. It's not how often you got there to have a chance. It's how often you finished it. And our guy's John Rahm for that, no doubt about it. So, yes, Rahm has not been at his best the last several months, but he's still the best player of the year because it's the full year. It's not the end of the year. If it were the end of the year, Victor Hovland's your player of the year because he's just mopped up the playoffs. If it were consistent excellence, it would be Scottie Scheffler because he's been great all the time. It's just not, that's not the way that it works. So John Rahm's your player of the year. And if it's any conclusion other than that, I would be frankly pretty shocked about it. And I don't think that's going to be the case. So final groups go off at 1:40 PM today from Atlanta. I think you would be quite surprised that this turned into anything other than a crowning or a runaway kind of thing. But it only takes a couple holes early to make this thing quite interesting if Victor stumbles. So if you got other plans this afternoon, completely understand. But at least look at your phone at like 2:20, 2:30 in the afternoon and see where Victor Hovland is. If he's, you know, 20 under or better, then this thing probably is toast. But if he's in the teens, we might have something to watch come later in the afternoon. All right, want to tell you quick about our friends at Swannies. They are the presenting sponsor of this show. We love their apparel. Swannies.co is where you want to be. if you want to check out all the stuff that they're doing. They just released a new collection inspired by the color red, which is not like bright red, like tiger red, but kind of more muted reds. It's gorgeous. Good mixture of polos available in that collection. They also have great hats for a bald guy like myself who needs to wear a hat when he plays golf. I noticed that kind of thing. The Swannies logo is awesome. There were tons of people wearing Swannies logos last weekend at the BMW Championship. They hooked up with the Western Golf Association to do some sales there in person. It was awesome to see that. They got great t-shirt hoodies, great just hoodies. They'll be taking over to Ireland starting on Wednesday night. And the polos are lovely. And many of them, if not all of them these days, are made from Reprieve recycled fabric. So you're doing something good for the planet while you're also looking great on the golf course. So swannies.co is where you need to be to check them out. You use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 to get 25% off your first order. And all the stuff they do is already reasonably priced, so you're just saving money on top of money. So check them out, swannies.co. Okay, let's get into the second story for today, and that is a somewhat bizarre one, to be honest with you. Alejandro Tosti has had a really nice year on the Korn Ferry Tour. One recently, locked up his tour card. Like, he's going to the tour. We know that's happening. He's going to be one of the top 30 players in Korn Ferry Tour points, and he's going to the PGA Tour. It doesn't matter what happens through the rest of the finals. Now, the way the Korn Ferry Tour finals work now, you have four events of differing field sizes. Start 156 this week at the Albertsons Boise Open, 144 next week in the Nashville area for the Simmons Bank Open, then 125, I think it is, for the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship at the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, and then they knock it down pretty drastically from there to 75 players for a no-cut Korn Ferry Tour Championship in Indiana. That moves next year, by the way, to the French Lick Resort. Shout out to French Lick. But that final event is no cut. Top 30 in points at the end of that event get PGA Tour cards for 2024. They cannot play in the fall. They don't have that option. I think that's kind of weird, but okay. And that's kind of how it's going to be moving forward. There's going to be no more PGA Tour influence or players involved in the Korn Ferry Tour finals. It's all an all-Korn Ferry Tour affair, which I like that. I think that's better. And it gives a little bit more spotlight to the year of the Korn Ferry Tour players have. So Tosti is one of those guys. He's from Argentina. Was very happy, obviously, to earn his PGA Tour card. But, apparently there's a different side to Alejandro Tosti that you don't see in those smiling pictures. And so after he opened the tournament, the Boise Open, in 67 on Thursday, he was forced to withdraw by the Korn Ferry Tour in what they are describing as a, quote, disciplinary matter. However, the tour does not offer any further explanation of what that is, and they would like to handle it basically internally. And their explanation of it, and this is an interesting way of putting it, because he didn't withdraw. The title of the article says, Alejandro Tosti withdrawn from Albertsons Boise Open. So it was withdrawn on his behalf. Like, they told him, you are out, you're being withdrawn. Like, we're extracting you. Almost like a SEAL Team 6 kind of thing. But what the PGAtour.com staff wrote is, Korn Ferry Tour member Alejandro Tosti was withdrawn from the Albertsons Boise Open following the first round of competition due to a disciplinary matter. Tosti entered the week ranked fourth on the Korn Ferry Tour points list. Per PGA Tour policy, the details of the issue and any related disciplinary action will be handled internally. Tosti, 27, has a win and 8 other top 10 finishes this season and has been declared tour bound, which I can't believe they put that in this, by earning enough points to ensure his PGA Tour card for 2024. Then it goes on after that. So Ryan French, who does Monday QInfo, it's a great job. Has his own podcast. I'm sure he's going to talk about it on there. It's called Any Given Monday. If you get a chance, check it out. But Ryan French reported that Tosti's removal was part of an unspecified suspension, and that this suspension comes, quote, after numerous alleged incidents throughout the season, end quote. And so I don't know what all of the incidents are. There's kind of some allusion, some vague allusion to his, there's been a bunch of issues with him, but like his temper is apparently not great, treats people poorly, like relates to the tournaments. He was DQ'd, I believe, from an event this year because, the Lee-Com Suncoast Classic, I think, because he took a shuttle, basically took a cart up to the tee, from like kind of cajoled a volunteer into providing a ride for him, even though it was expressly against the rules on the like local rule sheet. Apparently, like, maybe it's like a three strikes and you're out kind of policy. We don't know exactly all the incidents taken together, but it's been a weird couple of days for the Korn Ferry Tour. We did a story earlier in the week about Curtis Luck missing his tee time before the start of the Korn Ferry Tour Finals first event. This one, the Albertsons Boise Open. Missed the tee time, missed the 5-minute grace period to just get a stroke penalty, penalty added. Just disqualified. He's 59th at points. Top 30 get cards. So instead of having four events to get yourself to the PGA Tour, now you have three. That's crazy. Alejandro Tosti is going to get to the PGA Tour. That is absolutely going to happen because he's got enough points. It doesn't matter. But what we don't know is if he will be suspended for the remainder of the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, because if that happens, there's a real possibility he doesn't go precipitously down the board, but maybe he's like 10th or 12th or 15th in points by the time we're done with all of this. And so the suspension affects his ability to get into tournaments. What we haven't really been filled in on is two things by the PGA Tour. One, what the hell the FedEx Cup fall really looks like. I assume it's basically the same system. You know, you get 500 points to the winner in normal tournaments, but it just picks up where the season left off. However, we don't know what happens for those players who got into the playoffs. So those players ranked 51st through 70th who got into the FedEx Cup playoffs. Do they just keep their points and start from there, and everybody else kept their points who didn't qualify for the playoffs and they start from there? We don't know that yet. What we also don't know is how this will all work out in terms of the reshuffle for next year, because again, as we've said in the past 10 years, when you got your card from the Korn Ferry Tour, you went right to the PGA Tour for the fall because the new season started then and you could earn points. You had your first reshuffle. All of that access was based on being in the players that got cards, either through the Korn Ferry Tour regular season points list, those 25, or the 25 through the Korn Ferry Tour finals list, and they zippered together to kind of alternate in priority order. Well, we don't have that now. Now we immediately kick off with a big event in the Century, and then you start getting into Sony Open and the Amex, and those are your first couple full field events. Well, the first couple of full field events almost always are highly subscribed, you know, by regular members of the PGA Tour because they're kicking off the year. A lot of players want to get started in Hawaii, and I'm sure there will be a lot of support for the Hawaiian events this year because of what's happened in Maui. And the American Express has seen some really nice support in the last couple of years, especially this year. Field was great because a lot of players wanted to add in their event now at the start of the year before everything kind of got a little bit crazy. And I suspect that will continue to happen. I think that'll get a kind of favored status on the schedule if that's a requirement. But for these players, getting into those events is going to be, frankly, more difficult because, especially at the start of the year, you have a bunch of signature events. You've got full field events that are going to be getting the attention of players from the PGA Tour because they're going to want to get into the next signature events. I think it's going to be trickier. So being in the top 10 or top 15 of this group of 30 that graduates from the Korn Ferry Tour is going to be very important. So this could be extremely costly to Alejandro Tosti. I don't know what it'll amount to in the end. I don't know if the suspension is for all of the playoffs or the Korn Ferry Tour finals. I have no idea. They haven't said, and we're not going to find out. They may suspend him into the PGA Tours next season. Who knows? They haven't said yet. They probably won't say. We'll just see him in a field somewhere. It's just kind of how the PGA Tour does this. They don't tell you about these kind of disciplinary matters. They just kind of do them, and then if the player wants to speak about it, they can speak about it. But he hasn't so far, at least that I've seen, at least in English-speaking press. He may have done it with our friends at Golf Channel Latino America or Golf Shot Mexico or outlets like that, but I have not seen that yet. Okay, that's going to do it for us today on 2 Off the First. Just a nice little Sunday podcast to get your day going. Thank you for spending some time with us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll go over whatever happens in Atlanta at the Tour Championship. We'll crown a winner at the CPKC Women's Open. Megan Kang's up by 3 going into the final round. Stack leaderboard, though. Jin Young Ko is in there. Se-young Kim is in there. Lynn Grant is in there. It should be a good finish out there at Shaughnessy, which is a good golf course. So watch that on Golf Channel if you have a chance. And we'll talk a little bit about the D&D Real Check Masters. We're going to start to find out who's going to be on the Ryder Cup team. We're going to start to find out who's going to be on the Solheim Cup team. So we've got a lot to talk about there. We should have interviews with at least some folks on the Solheim Cup side, maybe Stacey Lewis, maybe a couple players she picks to join the team. So we'll bring that to you on my weekly podcast, the 19th Hole Golf Show. It will be available on Golf News Net Radio as well, just separately. And you can check that out either on iHeart if you're in North America, or tune in. Otherwise, our website, golfnewsnet.com, will have it all. We'll put podcasts up about it. You won't be able to miss it if you're tuned in with what we're doing. So we got a big, busy week ahead. And then on Wednesday, we go to Ireland. And we'll start doing some shows from there. Very, very excited about all of that. Taking you along with us on an incredible journey that has been a lot of time in the making. Can't wait to play some golf in Ireland. All right, we'll be back on Monday. Thanks so much. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you soon on 2 Off the First.